Thank the Lord this morning for His love and His blessings to us. And my desire is that when you leave this afternoon or this morning, that you will be able to say, that was a simple message. I'd like to, the burden the Lord has put on my heart is the simplicity that is in Christ. Like to begin over in 2 Corinthians in the 11th chapter. We'll begin reading with verse 1. Paul said, "Would to God that ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now Paul was speaking to the congregation. He said, I want you to be espoused to Christ. I want you to live holy. I want you to be a holy people. And then he said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So Paul was saying, I'm afraid here that the devil is trying to corrupt your minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. If you remember Eve, the devil got into a discussion with Eve. Got in a conversation with him. You know, we can learn a lesson right there. When you get in a discussion with the devil, there's not much good going to come out of it. The most discussion you need to have with the devil is, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." Other than that, if you try to get in this logical discussion with the enemy, I'll just say this, the devil's smarter than you and me. He's smarter than you and me. But God has given us authority over the enemy to rebuke him and cast him out. But we're going to get into trouble trying to get into a discussion with him. I have found, and as you have in your lives, I'm sure, there are some people that really to get into a discussion with on certain things, you're really wasting your breath. You might as well just save your breath and not waste your time, because all it's going to do is cause problems. To get into discussions about certain things. So with the enemy, let's not, young people, you don't need to get into discussion with the enemy. When he comes along and starts tempting you, you don't need to get into discussion with him. Just rebuke him. Well, the enemy took a little bit of truth and he began to twist it to try to corrupt Eve's mind in the simplicity of what God had said. Isn't the commandment that God had given Adam and Eve really simple? He said, you can eat of all the trees of this garden, but he said, of this tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, don't eat it. Alright, God said it, I believe it, let's do it. But the enemy came along wanting to corrupt that simplicity. Wanting to corrupt that simplicity and complicate what should have been very simple. A very simple commandment, don't do it. He wanted to twist it. So Paul is saying here, I'm afraid that the enemy, by any means, is going to try to corrupt, your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So I would like us to consider this morning, by the help of the Lord, what is the simplicity that is in Christ? Sometimes, if we're not careful, we can overcomplicate what it means to serve the Lord. We can overcomplicate it. Now, we're going to address the subject of doctrine, and doctrine is very important. It's very important in the Scripture, it's very important to me, and I hope it is to you too. But the simplicity that is in Christ, that word simple has a lot of different meanings. One of the word definitions for simplicity is singleness. In other words, one. Unmixed. In other words, you sit down to eat, and a casserole is set down before you. That is not simple. It's mixed. You kind of wonder, what is this? It's leftover dinner and leftover lunch from yesterday, and you put it together, and it's casserole. Nothing's wrong with casserole, sister. I'm not picking on casseroles. There's some good ones out there. But casserole is not, it's not simple. It's not one thing. This is hamburger. These are green beans. These are, pretty soon you have this complicated mix of something. And some people don't like complex food. I know people, when they sit down to eat something, they want to be able to identify what they're eating. This is steak. This is potatoes. Okay, you get the picture. With Christ, He wants there to be a singleness and a oneness for the foundation upon which we are building our life. Folks, that singleness is this. Found in Matthew 22, you know the scripture. The lawyer came to Jesus saying, what is the great commandment? What's the greatest commandment? We could say, well, and we could start getting in a lot of doctrinal points. But what did Jesus say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And He said, and second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Do you know, I believe we can still hang all of the doctrines that are taught in the New Testament. I believe we can still hang them on this concept of love. And sometimes, folks, things start getting so complicated, and you may start wondering, what does God want me to do? And this person says this and this one that, and I don't know what's... Sometimes we just need to be still. And remember, the simplicity that is in Christ, it has to do with your personal relationship of love with the Lord. In the decisions we're making, is this loving God? Is it loving my fellow man more than I love myself? Is it putting God first in my life? Is that simple or complicated? Isn't that simple? Do you realize that the simple things of life would start to unwind some of the most complicated situations in our life if we would just come back to the simplicity that's in Christ? We say, well, this one said this, and this one's that, and this one's liberal, and this one's fanatic, and that's conservative, and this is that group, and the other group, and this and that group, and pretty soon you say, what's going on? I'm just confused. What is the simplicity? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Be sure, and I can't do that for you, and you can't do it for me, but in my life, the decisions that I'm making, Lord, help me not to let the enemy complicate in my mind what it means to serve the Lord. Love the Lord with all of your heart. Folks, this is the simplicity that is in Christ. Love Him with all of your heart. The world is vying, folks, for our affections, for our time, and for our resources. Jesus said, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure this morning? Isn't that simple? What occupies your mind? Where's the focus of your sacrifice, your money, your affections? It's not complicated. Simplicity that's in Christ. Well, doctrinal understanding, folks, is vital, but simplicity is the most pertinent, and that has to do with our love relationship with the Lord. Part of simplicity means pure. Part of the definition of simple means pure. Unmixed. You know, that's how God wants the doctrine that we teach and that we live. See, doctrine is more than just for teaching. Alright? Some say, well, we got doctrinal teaching, or preaching was doctrinal this morning. What good does it do if we don't live it? Doctrine wasn't meant to be complicated academic pursuit. It was intended to help us understand God and understand how in our love for Him, how we can please Him more and draw closer to the Lord and have more victory in our life. That's the simplicity that's in Christ. You say, well, the kingdom of God, some say the kingdom of God is this and some it's that. You say, why does it matter? Because as I begin to understand the kingdom of God in my love relationship with God, it opens up doors to access in a greater way. Just like the scripture says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the more I understand that, I'm not looking for another future kingdom. We're looking for heaven, but I'm not looking for Him to come build something on this earth because I can access that right now. In my relationship with God, then, it starts to make a difference in my pursuit of God and His righteousness in this life. Well, that doctrine then needs to be pure doctrine, which means free from subtlety or obtrusiveness. that make sense? Without adding to it or taking away. Pure doctrine. You don't have to pull out an old church manual or pull out the notes of a minister's meeting that voted on something. Let's open up the Word of God and see what does the pure Word of God say. The simplicity that is in Christ is pure doctrine. Singleness. The Scripture in Revelation says not to add to or take away. Unmixed with the opinions of the world. Folks, there is a danger today that we can be affected and drawn away from the simplicity that's in Christ. And I will have to acknowledge that we have not been unaffected. I used a double negative there. We have not been unaffected. In other words, we have been affected to some extent by the philosophy of the world. Lord, help us not to let our minds be corrupted. Look at the attitudes that the world has. Look at what the world is promoting, and then look at the purity of what the Bible says. Do you see how if we're not careful, we can start leaning towards the philosophies and mindset of the world? Think about the roles of husband and wife. Think what the world says about that versus what the Bible says. There's a big difference, isn't there? A husband is to be the provider. The husband is to be a support. The husband is to be the leader of the home, a role model. Like I said, leader doesn't mean you bow down. It means be the first to submit. You be the first to be the one to show spiritual leadership. That's what the Bible teaches. That's not what the world is promoting. I heard on the radio the other day, they were almost belittling one of our politicians because he would stand and hold the door open for a woman. And I thought, how sad what our world has come to. If I hold the door open for a woman, it's not because I don't think she has the strength to do it. It's because I'm showing respect to you. I'm honoring you and respecting you. Do you realize that it's not an inferior position, but it's a position of showing respect? Well, it's very different than what the world is doing. What about child raising? The philosophies of the world, we just need to stop and ask, is it working what the world is teaching about how to raise our children? There is more rebellion. There is more there are more problems in the school. There's a lack of respect for authority. And so I'm supposed to espouse the ideology of the world in raising my children? And all I say is, let's look at the evidence. What's working? It's not working, folks. Let's not be moved away from the simplicity of Christ. The simplicity of pure doctrine, unpolluted by the mindset of the world. Scripture says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise, for the wisdom of this world is what? Foolishness with God. Folks, let's not forget that. There are good things out in the world. There are things we can learn in the world. But if it contradicts the purity and simplicity of the Scripture, this is what will work for you. This is the answer. These are the words of life this morning. Doctrines without the simplicity of Christ lead to a form of godliness. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of Christ. I don't want to be a people that's self-righteous. A people that just have all this head knowledge. Let's not be corrupted from the simplicity. I love the Lord. That's why I do what I do. That's why we live like we live. It's a simple relationship of love in accepting that this is His Word and this is how I want to live by. Over in the book of Galatians, we are cautioned in the Galatians chapter 5 to stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He said, and then in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. The liberty that Paul was speaking of was speaking about the freedom from the Jewish law. Alright? The Jews were in bondage to the law. And he was saying, let's not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, because they were starting to go back to a law mentality. Now folks, there are things the Bible teaches us to do and not do. People that say, well, it's all about love and so I can live however I want. How does that work if we did that with our husbands or wives? Well, I love you and then I can go do whatever I want. No. I love my wife enough that it's going to change where it's going to mean that's where my allegiance is. See? So with the Lord, it's the same way. But He said, stand fast in your liberty that you're doing what you're doing because of love, not because of law. Do you realize that if we are not careful, we can have all of the right doctrines and we can have all the right theological understanding, but if we start, we can get a law mentality among us as a people. And we can start it not having the liberty. It doesn't mean liberty to go out and sin, but it means the liberty of mind that I'm serving God because I want to and I'm free in that service to God. I want the doctrines to be true and right and simple in Christ, but folks, I don't want to get a law mentality. And there have been a lot of religious people, there have been a lot of Church of God people that have gotten a law mentality. And they lose that spark of life and love, and they're just difficult to be around because it's the law. And we have something better than that. We're not without the law. But that shouldn't be what motivates us. The motivation is the simplicity in Christ. How's your love for God? I trust that you understand the simplicity. It's not complex. And I will say, folks, sometimes we do have questions about God's will. Sometimes we say, Lord, I can study. There are some scriptures that I wish the Lord, there's a couple places I wish maybe the Lord would have made a little bit plainer. You know, maybe one day the Lord will clarify some things for me by His Spirit. But you know, when things start to get really complex in your life, and it just seems like your mind gets so filled and you don't know hardly where to turn, Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. You know, there's simplicity in that. If you start not knowing which way to turn or what's right or you don't know, and all these things are just plaguing you, folks, let's be still and just know that He's God. Lord, I'm going to acknowledge You as God. And I love You. And I may not understand everything, but Lord, I know I love You. Direct my feet today. Folks, you'll get through those difficult times. But the simplicity is we need to be still. We just need to get quiet. And when we are not still before the Lord is not a time to be making life-changing decisions. Alright? I found that after times of grief, in times of grief, is really not a time to be making a life-changing decision. In time of hurt, when you have been hurt, is not a time to be making a life-changing decision. It is a time to be still. Until you find a place of healing, then you can start hearing the simplicity of God's will and direction for your life. So maybe no one is facing any of those things today, but I want to encourage you, when you get in those traumatic situations in life that happen to all of us, it's a good time just to be still and know that He is God. Another definition of simplicity is sincerity. Which means, by definition, is freedom from the propensity to cunning or stratagem. Freedom from duplicity. Now, you may say, that doesn't sound real simple. That sounds a little complex. But do you know this morning, I don't know of any better way to illustrate than to look at our political system today. When you hear someone saying one thing, acting another way, and then doing something else in secret, and you think, now what do they really think? What's really right? You know, there is a simplicity in Christ that the Lord wants to be in our service to Him. I think about even politics. Think about complicated family situations. That maybe none of y'all have ever had this, but when you look and you look at people and families and, well, they said this and they mean this and they're doing this, and then you're trying to figure out what to do and what to say so as not to make a problem, but yet you have things that need to be done and you're trying to... With Christ, the Lord doesn't want it to be that way. In our service to Him, do you know that Christ, was very straightforward in what he taught to people. Christ told people the way it was. He loved them, but he wasn't duplicitous. He didn't say one thing and do something else. He was straightforward, and he presented the gospel in a way that people knew what they needed to do if they were going to follow him. That's simplicity. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, he said, take up your cross and follow me. That was pretty straightforward. You say, well, Jesus, maybe, you know, don't tell them to take up their cross because you don't want to offend them. But Jesus knew if you wanted to have a good relationship, there was a cross to take up. There's no duplicity there. What Jesus said, he meant, but it was said out of love. It was said out of a heart of care, and Jesus never deceived people. Y'all have had bait and switch happen to you? Advertisements? You know, they draw you in with some wonderful sounding advertisement, and then you get in, and all of a sudden they switch it on you to try to make you buy a different product, and the good's not as, the sale isn't as good as what it sounded. It's called bait and switch. You know, people are doing that with religion all the time. They're doing that with religion all the time. They'll try to draw people in with something that just sounds so beautiful and wonderful, then they get in and they switch it on you. Jesus didn't do that. He said, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to count the cost. There's a cost to following me, but if you'll pay the price, I've got something so wonderful for you, you'll be glad you did it. That's simplicity in Christ. Plainness. Simplicity in Christ is plainness, and this affects so many areas of our life. Plainness of dress. There's simplicity in Christ, folks. Our world is getting so focused on the outward appearance, and there are scriptures that deal with that. But so focused on the outward, Christ wants us to live a life of simplicity. And just because I can afford something doesn't mean I should buy it either. Things that are flashy and ostentatious, the Lord has called us to a simple life. Simple lifestyle, simple dress, simple manner of living, and simple language. I don't know how long it's been since y'all have heard that talked about, but I'd like to read a passage to you. In Matthew 5:33, he said, again, you have heard that it hath been said of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all. See, in the early times, people would swear by things. They would swear by their head, they'd swear by other things. And he said, I'm telling you, don't swear by anything. But he said, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it's his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. The Jews were notoriously known for common swearing. And they would just swear by this and swear by that, and they were loose with their language. And Jesus, the simplicity of Christ is simple dress, simple manner of living, simple love, simple doctrine, simple language. Have you ever had someone tell you, well, I promise you I will do something? And the first thing that comes to my mind is, well, what would you do if you didn't promise? I mean, so your word's not good enough to say, oh, I'll do such and such. So that doesn't mean anything, so you have to promise to make it? Jesus said, let your speech be plain. If you say something, then for the saints of God, we ought to do that. In simplicity of language, and this is not intended to step on any of our toes, and if there are places that all of us can maybe do a little bit better sometimes, but, you know, swearing is not acceptable to the Lord. Can we accept that fact? He told us not to swear, not to promise by anything. But, you know, I've noticed, and I have been guilty. I'm going to acknowledge myself. I have been guilty of this before, too, all right? But words that are not bad words, almost becoming a byproduct or a byword. And I've been checked about that before, because the language itself isn't bad, but if something happens and you said, oh, rats, you'd say, well, is that a bad word? Well, no, I don't like rats, but I mean, and I knew someone that used other words, and it almost becomes an expression of frustration, or I really didn't like that. And I wonder, is there really a lot of difference in that than someone just saying a word that we say, oh, that was a bad word? In other words, that our language, that it be simple, that we be people of godliness and holiness. And if there's a place, maybe we could, I could do a little bit better about that. I've noticed it before in one of my children had started saying something and they picked it up from someone else. It wasn't a bad word, but I noticed when it came out is when a time that other people might swear. And I thought, you know what? I really think God has something a little bit better for us than that. Simplicity in language. Amen? Simplicity in worship. And we're going to be done here in just a few minutes. Simplicity in Christ. You know, Jesus came and He wanted to bring simplicity in worship. In the Old Testament, they offered sacrifices. They burned incense. They used musical instruments inside the temple, not the tabernacle, keep in mind, but they used musical instruments. They had their different ways of worship. And when Jesus came, He introduced something different. He said the worship is not like it used to be. He said, now I want your worship to be in spirit and in truth. Just simple worship. I want it to be out of the love of your heart, not from the emotions of the flesh. When your love is involved, the emotions come with it, right? And that's okay. But I told the young people this morning, I didn't know if I'd mention it, but I think I will. I saw a little clip recently someone had posted in it. It showed at one of these praise and worship services. It looked like a rock concert. They had the walkway going out in the crowd, and they had a woman with her microphone, you know, singing and hooping, hollering, praising. And so they had their guitars, they had their instruments, and they had all the lights flashing, and they had that. And I thought, you know what? Is this the simplicity that's in Christ? It doesn't take very much spiritual discernment to come to the conclusion that, you know what? That's really not what the Lord was looking for. He was looking for people that would worship Him because, Lord, I love You, and it's done out of a sincere heart, folks. The Lord wants simple worship this morning. Simple, sincere, honest, holy worship is what He accepts. He's not dwelling in temples made with hands. Simple obedience. So what does God want? What's the simplicity in Christ? Just simple obedience. Not rationalizing, not thinking enough. You know, I've watched children do this, and I don't think children are the only ones guilty of it. Have you ever talked to a child, and you could just see that they took a fact, and they twisted it and turned it until they convinced themselves that it was different, and then they could look you in the eye, and they actually started believing what they were saying. That's not the simplicity that Christ wants in our life. He wants simple obedience. I don't want you to eat of this tree. Yes, Lord. Simple obedience. Well, I know maybe that it's not good to do it, but because of this and that, and pretty soon we start rationalizing, justifying, and pretty soon it's like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. And the Lord just wanted simple obedience. Simple worship, simple obedience. And in conclusion, 1 Corinthians 13, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, that's pretty phenomenal. He said, and have not charity, He said, I am nothing. Though I give all of my goods to feed the poor, that's sacrifice. And though I give my body to be burned, those are the martyrs. And you know, I hear people put in requests for the martyrs and we should pray for them. But you know, I've been in some of those countries and I know the condition of some of their walk with God that are being persecuted and there's not much righteousness. Though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, He said, it profiteth me nothing. The simplicity that is in Christ, it begins and it ends with the simplicity of our love for God. So if the doctrine sometimes get complicated, the Lord doesn't want it to be as complicated as the enemy's made it. But we need to take a step back and start with the simple relationship of love, and that will begin to guide us in the simple doctrine, in the simpleness and plainness of living, in the plainness of speech, in simple obedience. And this is where you will find that serving God is actually a wonderful way to live because you have liberty in what you're doing because you are living in the simplicity of Christ. So beware this morning, lest the enemy the serpent try to beguile us and corrupt our minds from the simplicity that is in Christ.